NPR studios is Carrie Barnes, a local dulcimer connoisseur. Along with her are some cohorts in dulcimer appreciation, John and Karen Keene. Appreciate all of you joining Notably Texan tonight.
Thank you, man.
It's really cool to talk to you for the first time. You might assume that y'all are the first people to approach me and say, you know, Matt, do you know about this instrument, the dulcimer? There's just not enough appreciation for this out there, but there have been surprisingly a lot of people who have come to me over my time doing Notably Texan who have said, you know, this is such a really neat instrument. I wish that you would kind of spread the word on it. And so a good friend of mine and a friend of yours as well, I believe, Carrie, is a lady by the name of Debbie Porter, who has been a big fan of the dulcimer, plays a dulcimer herself, and also likes to play other, you know, small stringed instruments like that. So this is not the first time that I've heard about it, but I'm really excited to learn a bit more about this fascinating instrument. And before we get into all the specifics on the dulcimer, let's kind of learn a little bit more about you, our guests, before we go on any further. Carrie, I know that you live not far away from the studios right here in Commerce. What occupies your time outside of playing the dulcimer?
Well, pretty much I had to take an early retirement due to health, and right now what takes up my time is dulcimer.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's obviously it's something that's really gotten its teeth in you, for lack of a better term.
It's a lovely addiction.
and it is an addiction, too. That's what I understand is the people that get into this just go nuts over the dulcimer. And let's talk about your guests. These are some friend of yours who actually just made a much longer trip than you did to come to KETR today. John and Karen Keene came all the way down from Louisiana. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Shreveport, Louisiana.
Well, that's wonderful. Of course, you're on Notably Texan here, so I don't panic or anything, my listeners or you guys. We're going to find some Texas connections for you here, but this is really great. Y'all are making some, you just put out your first recording, as I understand it.
Absolutely. It's called Dulcimer Stories. My wife and I had a big time working on that, didn't we, Karen?
We did. It was really an experience, a learning experience, because, of course, this is our first CD.
Right.
So it was a learning experience for us, but we really enjoyed doing the CD.
Well, it's great. I love the cover artwork. I'm always a big fan of yard gnomes, but especially one that's holding a dulcimer. That's really cool. And so the album is available now. It's called Dulcimer Stories, and you guys, I assume, self-produced and released this?
Absolutely.
That's great. That's the way people are doing it these days, yeah. You know? Where can folks find this? Can they go to a website or anything?
There's three different places you can do it right now. There's two stores that it can be purchased at that anyone can Google. One is in Branson called, Cedar Creek Dulcimers in Branson, Missouri. And the other is Flat Creek Dulcimers in, Hardy, Arkansas.
Okay.
And they could email me if they need to. It'd be JKEANE and the number 1 at Comcast.net. They can email me, and I'll be more than happy to tell them how they can get a hold of one.
Wonderful. Well, there you go. If you're interested in hearing a bit more of the dulcimer and checking out this new release from the Keens, then by all means, take advantage of that. Now, you are all three members of a nationwide, or I guess maybe I should say worldwide organization called Friends of the Mountain Dulcimer. Is that right?
Yes.
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about that group and its mission, if you would.
Actually, the mission of the club is to spread the history of the dulcimer, and there's also a lot of learning information on there where, as a beginner, you can actually learn how to play it through the website itself.
Really?
The members are exceptionally supportive and positive and help direct people in their journey with the dulcimer to find their particular niche that they like.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of crazy stuff that goes on there. We have a tremendous chat section, and a lot of us use it for release from daily stress.
Certainly.
We ask pertinent questions, very important questions about the instrument, but it's a huge family, and it's global.
And what about the Keens experience from this?
It's also a great place to go and listen to music. If you really are a fan of folk music,
uh-huh.
There's a lot of videos that people post, and it's a really great resource when you're working on a new song to go and listen to how other people have played it and, you know, get a little history behind it. So it's a really, really good resource for that as well.
And a lot of times, I'm assuming these are videos that folks are posting, so you can actually kind of watch how they're doing their the fingering on these different songs and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a lot because it's one thing to listen to a song, but to actually get to see somebody and kind of go, oh, okay, now I get an idea what they were doing to create that sound. That helps a lot.
Right.
Just because you hear it doesn't mean you understand how it was created.
Right.
And it does help a lot when you have the visual. And I know that I'm a visual learner, so it helps a lot to be able to see what someone's doing.
That's great. It's always good to be able to kind of learn some chops from others and to be able to show other people things that you're proud of. And that's great. And everybody there is, of course, all about the dulcimer. They've all got the bug. And where can folks find that website?
Friends of the Mountain Dulcimer. Google it, and it will take you to the website. You'll be able to preview the site before you decide if you want to join or not.
Right.
So it's a very open and friendly community.
Right, and you know, it's going to have some of the standard rules that would apply to anywhere else that, you know, they ask that it be original compositions or public domain. You know,
right.
They don't want
yes.
people posting
yes,
exactly. cover versions of songs that are currently copyrighted, and that's a standard thing everywhere. So, you know, look, everybody, you know, we appreciate your great AC/DC cover, but it might not be the best thing to post on the site just for legal issues and everything, but that's a really neat thing. And have y'all actually met maybe some local fellow dulcimer players through the website? Or
absolutely.
Yes.
We met each
actually,
other that
Carrie,
way.
That's how
oh,
we
really?
Met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We met through the website.
There's a festival in Palestine. It's a yearly festival, and it's called Old Pal. And through meeting each other on the website, we were really excited because a group of us, we had folks from West Virginia and John and Karen from Louisiana.
Right.
And Palestine's not that far from Commerce. And it was just kind of a converging point because by that time, we'd gotten to know each other. And it was like, not only were we excited about the festival, but actually getting to meet friends that we made online.
Yeah. That's always neat no matter what, but especially if it's people that, you know, share a love for an instrument like
yeah.
this. Fascinating. One of the underappreciated uses of the internet, if you will, is that folks who share a common hobby like this, and I don't mean to imply that it's just a hobby. I know the dulcimer is life, so I'm not putting that down at all, but isn't it cool how people can get together and find one another on a simple website like that? Talking to some folks who are big connoisseurs of the dulcimer. Joining me in studio tonight are Carrie Barnes, John, and Karen Keene, who are all players of the Mountain Dulcimer. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is
yes.
correct.
And for folks that have not kind of studied up on this, the dulcimer, of course, is really kind of a lesser-known instrument, except for folks that have looked into it, but it's got a lot of history, doesn't it?
Yes, a tremendous yes. amount of history. Most instruments have European influences. There are very few instruments that are actually true American instruments.
Right.
The dulcimer itself has European likenesses to it, but the people that gravitated from Europe to the Northeast and the
Appalachian Mountains,
thank you very much. They're very poor people, so they built this instrument from memory because they could not bring much stuff with them.
That's right.
John, if you'd like to pick up here regarding the zither instruments.
Well, the mountain dulcimer is basically an incarnation of a zither instrument that would have been from Europe. And what they did was they used the available materials that they had. And it was originally set up as a melody and drone instrument, where a lot of people liken it to the sound of a bagpipe for the same reason, because of the drone. And for years and years and years, that's, as far as we know, the way that it was mostly played.
Wow.
And during the folk revival movement of the 50s and 60s, then we started getting more and more people that were actually starting to play chords on the dulcimer instead of just having the drones and everything. So basically, pick a style. If you want to play dulcimer, there's a style out there for you.
Sure. And, you know, this has happened with a certain amount of instruments out there that were maybe designed just as sort of a background instrument. You know, I don't know, things like the bass guitar and tuba and things like this that maybe were just kind of intended for the backbone have moved out a little bit more into the front of things over the time of music's evolution, I guess you could say. So this is kind of an example of that.
Yeah, there's two main instruments that they think the origins came from. It was the Scheithold, which is a Germanic instrument, but also... And forgive me if if I mispronounce this, but it's a langalok, which is a Scandinavian instrument, which modern times it's referred to as an epinet.
Interesting. This is a very approachable instrument, too. I think it's generally regarded as one of the easiest string instruments to learn, and that would make it appealing to all ages, I would assume.
Yes, very much so. It takes no musical theory or experience to learn to play the instrument.
You know, a lot of people are a little bit timid when it comes to picking up an instrument that they've thought, you know, I never could figure out how to play the piano, or I never could play the this or the that. But I think the people who maybe have never played an instrument before can easily learn this, right?
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can take it as far as you want to. There's the melody drone style that we were talking about earlier, that you're basically playing a melody on what is called the melody string, and the other strings are just droning a background for you. Or you can get into the chord melody style like we were referring to earlier, and you can make it as simple, or I mean, you can get right up into Chet Atkins style, you know.
Yes.
Just whatever you want to do.
You can even finger pick.
Mm-hmm. Really?
A lot of people do.
Yes.
That. So it's a very versatile instrument, and it appeals to a lot of people. Not only, you know, John and I are music educators, so we love the instrument, and then you have people that can't read music that, you know, love the instrument. So it's very versatile.
That's amazing.
And it's such a niche kind of instrument that I'm almost embarrassed to say that we're lifelong musicians, Karen and I are, and have been almost 30 years music educators, and we never heard of this instrument before 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
And didn't buy one until 2 years ago. So we are still relatively new to the instrument ourselves.
Really goes to show you that just does not get enough attention, I guess you could say. This is just one of those kind of underground instruments.
Yes, very much so, yes.
Well, we're trying to change that. As we talk about the dulcimer tonight on Notably Texan, you're listening to 88.9 KETR. Now, if somebody out there is maybe thinking, man, I'm really interested in this, just to get an idea, and obviously we don't, you know, I'm not trying to do a commercial for any company that makes these, but what's the price range of these instruments, and where could they be obtained for someone who's maybe interested in getting a dulcimer?
There is a price range a lot like guitars.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you can get a really nice $99 guitar, and you can get a really nice $9,999 guitar. So dulcimers kind of work the same way. There's several notable manufacturers, but there's also several independent luthiers that make their own product and everything. The best thing to do, without just saying, you know, here's what you need to do, because it's all a personal preference thing, but just with a little bit of internet savvy, you can get on there and you can search, and you can find the ones that people really seem to like, ones that people really don't seem to like,
right,
and everything in between, and definitely something to fit your price range.
And the Friends of the Mountain Dulcimer website also, there's a lot of people on there that are very helpful about, you know, offering opinions about what they play and why they like it. You know, so that's very another way to, you know, use that resource.
Sure. If you're a newbie, I guess basically you could go on there and become a member of the site and just kind of pose the question, hey, I heard about this instrument.
Exactly.
You know, I don't have, my budget is so-and-so, you know, what do you think I should get? And I'm sure there are folks that would jump all over the opportunity.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I did a lot of research on the website. I friended a lot of people. I listened to videos, and I made my decision based on that, and I haven't looked back since.
That's great.
And a lot of people are not joiners. They're like, well, I don't want to join the site. I mean, what's it going to cost, and this and that and everything.
Yeah.
Well, basically, joining means you sign up.
Right. There's
There's no fee. There's no anything. You're not going to get pesky emails and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's just literally you join. Basically, what that allows you to do over just looking the site up online is there are members that, as Carrie was saying, you can friend them, and you can then through the site you can message them,
yeah.
And then, you know, how was it that you did that, and what was your right hand doing there, and you know, those kind of questions, and,
sure.
and you can get answers to them, and you know, solve a lot of mysteries and save yourself a lot of time.
No, that's great. So this is basically it's in essence social networking for Dulcimer fans.
Pretty much, exactly. It's a musical community that's exceptionally supportive. And it's just phenomenal. I was shocked when I joined, because being in other groups, it was like opening a door, walking through it, knowing you were home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, I know that the Mountain Dulcimer is often kind of associated with Americana roots and country music, but I think it can certainly be used in all sorts of genres, can't it?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Here's some random dulcimer trivia for folks that are not as aware, but an Appalachian dulcimer is prominent in the Rolling Stones tune Lady Jane. Brian Jones actually played an Appalachian dulcimer on that one.
This play is run, my love. Your time has come, my love. I pledge my troth to Lady Jane.
That's pretty cool. A lot of people have heard that song 100 times and maybe didn't even know
exactly
what instrument was in there. Joni Mitchell, of course, was known for playing a dulcimer, particularly on her 1971 album Blue. Here's Joni recorded live on the BBC in 1970 on a tune called All I Want, and a nice description of the dulcimer to the audience.
This is called a dulcimer, and originally it was brought to America from Sweden, or Germany. People aren't really quite sure. It's kind of a descendant of a zither or any of those kind of knee instruments, you know. It's more like a stretched out fiddle or something, I don't know. Here's another really new one that isn't quite finished, just for fun.
Tune A Case of You from the album Blue, which prominently features the Mountain Dulcimer.
Just before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star, and I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar, on the back of a cartoon coaster.
A lot of people credit her with kind of popularizing the instruments in the 70s.
And Joellen Lapidus is actually the person that taught her how to play and built the dulcimer for her.
Really?
And she's still very active on the circuit of giving clinics and workshops and stuff. We got to meet her not this summer, but the summer before.
Last summer.
Wonderful human being. Really, really nice lady.
And speaking of folks who have done a lot to teach people the dulcimer, Texan David Schnaufer, recorded with the Judds and Johnny Cash and Mark O'Connor. He was a historian of the Appalachian dulcimer, and he is credited as being the world's first and only dulcimer professor. He served as an adjunct associate professor of dulcimer at Vanderbilt University's Blair School of Music, which is a mouthful, but he did that from 1995 until he passed away in 2006. And he also taught Cyndi Lauper how to play dulcimer.
Yes, exactly.
In 2003, Cyndi Lauper, known for her hit Time After Time, performed that song on the Mountain Dulcimer on the Carolyn Ray Show. Amazing connections here, and you know, some of these names, of course, people recognize. Obviously, people recognize Cyndi Lauper and the Rolling Stones and all that, but just kind of shedding some light to the listeners here that you have heard the Dulcimer before. It just maybe wasn't as credited as you might have assumed it might have been.
That's exactly right. Yes, very much so.
Tell me maybe a little bit about your applications of the Mountain Dulcimer. Do you three like to kind of get together and jam with them, or do you use them more for solo performances? I know that you two have presented me your CD, the John and Karen Keene CD, Dulcimer Stories, which I think has got features dulcimer and lyrics on there. But how do you each individually kind of like to utilize the dulcimer?
Well, for me, I played flute for 36, 38 years.
Really?
So as a flute player, I never got to sing, and I really like to sing. So dulcimer was a big draw for me to be able to play a string instrument and utilize my voice. And I don't really have a certain style that I like to stick with. I do a lot of blues. I do folk songs, you know, finger picking. So it has a wide appeal musically, but I've really enjoyed writing my own music and singing.
You really kind of got liberated, I guess, when you didn't have to,
exactly,
to play the flute anymore because you opened up another instrument, basically your voice.
Right.
that's cool.
Make mama's gumbo, first you make a boo. Smell will make you cry, yes, you know that it's true. Throw in some chitlins and you wait till it's brown.
Response would be much the same, except interchange tuba for flute.
Okay,
it's hard to sing with a mouthpiece on your face.
Very true.
You know, and it doesn't mean that we love our original instruments any less.
Right.
You know, we still love them too. But this has just been something new. And honestly, after years and years and years and years of doing something, it's nice to get a little shot in the arm. You know, something a little different, and you know, break up the pace of things. You know, so it's been good all the way around for us.
I got into an argument down at Luther's Hardware in Pain. I said the wrestling on TV is fake, and another guy said,
no, it ain't.
We started screaming back and forth. We were headed to the street. Luther's wife said, settle down while I fix y'all something to eat. We were hypnotized while the bacon fried. There's just something about that smell. We found our peace thanks to bacon grease. I think bacon makes the world just swell.
Carrie?
I had always wanted to play a stringed instrument, and through the course of my life, between job, kids, so on and so forth, I never had the time for it. And when I took early retirement, it was like, okay, what am I going to do?
Right.
And we had lived in Tennessee for about 10 years, and that is where I saw my first dulcimer at the Appalachian Museum north of Knoxville. And I guess that little seed just kind of stuck, and I was sitting at the computer one day, and it popped into my head, and I Googled it, and I haven't looked back since. So to me, I'm still taking the journey here. I found finger picking to be my niche, but that doesn't mean that I don't like to sit there and slap out a tune with a group of people. It's just a form of relaxation for me. It's self-expression, and I am just so grateful that I can actually play an instrument.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
My guests also demonstrated the different ways the Mountain Dulcimer can be played. Take this traditional tune, Old Gray Cat. Here's how it was played traditionally, performed by Carrie Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the same song, Old Gray Cat, bluesed up a bit by our guest, John Keane. Typically, it's not amplified, I would assume, right?
Not typically. But if you're going to play in a larger venue or a larger room, it's kind of a necessary thing to do. We've done it both ways, where we have performed with a vocal mic and then a mic on the dulcimer. But dulcimers are extremely difficult to mic.
Are they?
And it can save a lot of hassle if you do have the pickup and you can just plug in the amp. And there are amps out there that are designed for acoustic instruments, so you don't lose a lot of the acoustic quality in doing that. But yeah, there's sometimes where that's pretty necessary.
I don't know. I guess when I think of an electric dulcimer, I'm thinking of an electric guitar. You know,
There's some similarities, and I have a solid body electric dulcimer that has Telecaster guts to
really?
It. Yeah, it's a really neat little machine.
There are a lot of modern dulcimer players mm-hmm. that do amplify, and they yeah. use electric just for different tones, to add to their performance,
sure.
have different sounds. There's also baritone dulcimers and bass dulcimers.
I was going to say, this is not the only dulcimer,
exactly.
right?
No.
We have a baritone with us right now.
If you really mm-hmm. wanted to have a group, play. You could have somebody play bass and somebody play baritone, and it's a very versatile instrument.
Does anybody ever play one of these with a slide?
Actually, yes. there's this wonderful innovation as of late it's basically based on what people commonly would call the dobro guitar approach or uh-huh. resonator guitar. That there are several manufacturers that are making resonator dulcimers right now.
Really?
I say several. There's two or three probably. I'm one of the guinea pigs right now that's trying one of them out, and it's an extremely fun instrument to play. I'm still going back and forth between glass slides and metal slides and everything, trying to figure out what I like the best and everything. But it's very akin to a lap steel
yes.
approach to it, but it's very much the resonator sound. It's a really, really, really neat instrument.
Wow, that was a total shot in the dark, and I'm so glad to hear that they're doing that. That's really cool. This has really been educational and entertaining, I got to say. I mean that. You can't turn on an average radio station or TV station and hear about the mountain dulcimer. And I really appreciate y'all kind of coming in and spreading the word about this. And folks that are interested, even remotely, if you want to go learn more about the mountain dulcimer, amongst other places, you can check out this place that my guests are members of. Again, it's called Friends of the Mountain Dulcimer. If you just do a search for that, you'll easily find that. I'm sure that'll be the first thing on your search suggestions there. And go have a look. If you're interested, become a member. And who knows, you might talk to any of our guests tonight, John and Karen Keane, as well as Carrie Barnes, all big fans and players of the mountain dulcimer. And I can't thank you enough for kind of sharing your experience and knowledge about this interesting instrument with us.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
That's from John and Karen Keene's album Dulcimer Stories. It's called Fire on Bayou Mountain. Big thanks again to the Keens as well as Carrie Barnes for joining me in studio and enlightening us on the mountain dulcimer. This is listener-supported radio for Northeast Texas, 88.9 KETR.